Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiolab is supported by Betterment. Let's talk about you and your money. You like to relax every now and then. Your money likes to work. And Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. While you're catching up on sleep, your money is up early, automatically reinvesting your dividends. Your money is a total workhorse, so you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, I'm Jad.
I'm Robert.
This is Radiolab, and today...
Today we're talking about some legends and the men behind those legends. And for this next story...
Hi, how you doing?
We met a guy...
I'm Johnny Hughes. I'm a documentary maker from Britain, also a science journalist.
He's an author. He recently wrote a book...
called On the Origin of Teepees. And it's about...
Teepees, why?
Well, if I'm being honest, it was because it was a sort of pun... on the origin of species. Nothing much rhymes with species. But
you see, Johnny wanted to write a book about the origins of ideas the same way that Darwin wrote his book about the origin of species.
So I went chasing off after teepees.
Which brought him to the USA, and then he ended up driving across the country.
Straight across. Going west onto the Great Plains.
As he did, the farms gave way to prairie and then to wide open fields. And it was at that point that he noticed something a little different. There was a distinct change in headgear.
Yeah, as soon as you get onto the short grass prairie.
Right after Bismarck.
There's a very obvious transition from baseball caps to cowboy hats.
And that got him to wondering, like, how did the cowboy hat get to the West? And he's decided to do some research.
So the answer one to the question, who invented the cowboy hat, it's straightforward.
And it goes like this. 1865, the gold rush. Colorado, everyone's coming in from all over the world to make their fortune paying for gold. They bring their hats.
So there's a sort of mixture of hats from all different parts of the world, from the north, from the south, from the cities. Quite a ridiculous collection of hats, we might say. You've got silk top hats.
No.
Seriously.
In color, in the gold rush?
In the gold rush.
That would be your Abe Lincoln hat.
Great in the East Coast cities. Pretty useless on the top of Pike's Peak.
Why? Because it gets blown off by the wind?
Blown off, it gets wet.
So you've got your Abe, but you also have...
raccoon skin hats, the sort of Davy Crockett things.
Great in the winter, but come the summer...
They got full of fleas, and they made you really hot as well.
That's not good.
You also had straw hats from the plantations from the south.
Which are, I don't know, kind of flimsy.
There would have been some sombreros.
Not bad, actually.
Yeah, keep the sun off your eyes, keep you cool. But they have enormous brims.
The problem is, when it rains...
water just collects and stays on there.
There you are in Colorado with lots and lots of hats.
But none of them were perfect. All of them were slightly unfit.
Enter Mr. John B. Stetson.
He was the son of a hat maker in the East Coast, and he came over looking for his fortune, and the story goes.
When he landed in Colorado, he looked around and he immediately saw an opportunity.
Went back to the East Coast, gathered his thoughts.
And in a moment of unnatural and inspired inspiration, if you can be so inspired, he saw...
the fully formed cowboy hat.
In his head.
Yeah. So he had the model in his head.
And what was it?
So his model was, it needed to have a wide brim to keep the sun and the rain off your head, but not as wide as a sombrero, because that was impractical. But also much wider than, say, a top hat, which was useless.
And it needed to be waterproof?
Because he knew that it was wet over in the west.
Needed to have a high dome on top to keep you cool up there?
He knew what it ought to be.
So after a little hammering and stretching and cutting, he had the perfect hat. And he called it...
the Boss of the Plains.
Which everyone in the west wanted to be. So, picture the scene. Boss of the Plains arrives. It's gorgeous. You want one. You threw away your horrible raccoon thing. And you went for one of those. It very quickly became a status symbol.
That is story number one.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
It was a guy.
It's a guy.
It's J.B. Stetson. He came up with the idea. He was a genius. He got it sold.
Okay. What's the problem with that story?
Well, the problem with that, says Johnny, and he realized at the moment he landed out west and he started to look into this.
Uh-huh.
Close your eyes and imagine, you know, your quintessential cowboy hat.
You asking me to do this?
Yeah, please just do it.
Okay, got it in my head.
Is it a high-domed,
yep,
broad-brimmed?
Very. It's got a dent in the top.
Well, see,
the picture that we have in our heads is not what Stetson invented.
Really? Why? I mean, what did Stetson's look like?
Probably the dullest cowboy hat you could possibly imagine. No rolling at the edge of the brim, no dents on the crown. It had a little ribbon around it.
A ribbon?
Yeah.
It's not very bossy. That's dainty.
So Johnny did some more research, and he now comes up. This is coming up now. Theory number two to explain who or what designed the hat. Again, 1865. It's Colorado Gold Rush time. People are coming in from all over. J.B. Stetson shows up. He makes the hat. But the hat was very expensive.
You couldn't afford more than one. So from then on, for the next 10 years...
You would wear it, like, all the time.
You'd be picking it up the whole time with the crown, so you'd be pushing these dents into it every time you sort of yee-hard. And you'd also be sleeping on your hat, so you'd be folding over the brim. So within a few years, the cowboy heroes, these guys are turning up at the railhead towns with these, what we might call in Britain, knackered Boss of the Plains hats.
That looked like a completely different hat than the one they bought in the store.
Yeah. They'll be battered.
And, you know, think about this. If you're a young cowboy and you're looking for your first cowboy hat...
Do you want one that looks like the guy who runs the hardware shop?
Who's got the pretty dainty one.
Or do you want the one with the dent in it, like your dad, the cowboy?
And so hat makers picked up on this and they began producing pre-dented, crumpled, knackered hats.
Stetson responded as well. You can look through the kind of order books of Stetson, and you will see the designs change over time.
All of which is to say, if you want to tell the story this way, you can say, yeah, Stetson was there, Stetson played his part, but when it comes to a true cowboy hat, the one we think of when we think of a hat, Stetson really didn't invent it.
The cowboys did. The entire population of cowboys were instrumental in choosing the future evolution of the cowboy hat. It's almost like the market's deciding, which in this case is cowboys.
And can I just plant my flag and say that seems like a very sensible theory?
It does.
But
something about this story number two was still nagging Johnny.
Oh, there's more.
He's going to go one more round. Do you want to come with him?
I will go.
Here we go.
The third answer to the question, who invented the cowboy hat, is no one did.
Well, someone did.
What I mean is that there were no mindful decisions going on here. Not even a community of people mindfully chose where the cowboy hat was going to go.
Mindfully?
Yeah. So,
what do you suppose he means by mindfully?
This is where you get a little bit of science. You know that if you were, say, a mouse, and you were living in an environment, happily, and then all of a sudden things turn cold, if you have short hair, you're going to shiver and then maybe die.
Right.
But if another mouse happens to have longer hair...
You know, they're going to do better. They're going to do better in life. They're going to have more baby mice.
So over time, in this community, you're going to get more and more and more mice with longer and longer hair.
Makes sense.
Now, these mice, they don't choose the length of their hair. They just have the hair they got. It is the weather. It is the local environment. That's what really shapes these mice. And you could think of the hat in the same way.
We're looking at the hat shape itself. The hat shape is changing over time without any forethought.
Thanks to that gold rush in the 1860s, you got a whole bunch of very different hats showing up on the Great Plains. And all those hats show up on heads, and those heads and hats are going to have horribly cold winters, searingly hot summers. They're going to be in the wind. They're going to be out of doors because the main occupation is going to be moving cattle across the plains.
Mm-hmm.
In this very competitive hat situation, the hat that's going to survive is the hat that keeps you comfortable, keeps you cool, keeps you dry. In other words, the cowboy hat. Therefore, in this third version of our story, according to Johnny...
The environment created the hat.
The wind created the hat. The rain. The sun. The snow. The weather created those hats.
Absolutely right.
This hat was just bound to appear in that place in that time.
It would have been invented by someone. The environment was right.
There's something kind of poetic about the idea that the hat was called the Boss of the Plains. And if your third movie is correct, then it's really the planes or the boss of the hat or something yeah, else.
True. Chad, that's brilliant. I like that one.
But see, on the other hand, I'm not sure I like it because, like, I'm just thinking about all the edits that we do as storytellers. Like, for the pieces in the show, like, the thing we're always trying to do is kind of get to moments. And we're trying to always atomize everything, get down to the particular person who made the particular decision that resulted in the particular change. Like, that's what we want as storytellers. So in some sense, your scenario three is like the death of story, in some sense. It's the anti-story.
Feels less glamorous, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it runs
counter. Know
what?
Do you know what? When Darwin came up with the theory of, well, when he published his theory of evolution by natural selection, that felt like a death in a way, because it felt like you were taking away the creator, this amazing being. You were diminishing life to a sort of mindless process. So a lot of people criticized him for the same thing. It's not as romantic. It's not as, well, it is as awesome. It's just not in the same way.
All right, well, we should go. I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Jana Levin.
Hi, this is David Levitt.
This is James Glickin.
I'm calling to leave the credit.
Radio Lab is produced by Jad Abumrad. Our staff includes
Ellen Horn, Soren Wheeler, Pat Walters,
Kim Howard, Brenna Farrell, Molly Webster,
Melissa O'Donnell, Jamie York, Dylan Keith, Lynn Levy,
and Andy Mills, with help from Ariane Wack and Damiano Marchetti.
Special thanks to Sean Cole. Yay, I got through it just as somebody walked in the door. Okay, let me know if I have to do it again. Bye.
End of message.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.